Or what I'm going to do this morning, I'm just going to share with you some things that's happening back there. Now, I don't know if this is, perhaps it'll be profitable to you. I trust it will in your area. Maybe stimulate your thinking a little bit along the lines of ministry. You're all familiar with the verse of Scripture in the first chapter of Acts, eighth verse. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And it seems that God has laid upon our hearts, we often, you've heard this, we talk about Jerusalem being the town and community in which we live, and then now we can, in our area, we can spread this on out to the surrounding area around us. And this is what God has laid in our heart, and I'm going to try and give you a little bit of an idea of what God has laid in our heart for the state of Iowa. I'm not an artist, it's some fun to tell. This is going to be the state of Iowa. How about that? Boy. And what about right here? I'll say that's Des Moines. And up there's Ankeny. You're coming through. So I have to move it over a little that way. How's that? Can you see it? Yeah. Okay. God has laid on our heart the state of Iowa. And the thing that we're asking God for is that He would raise up laborers around the state. Men and women who are committed to reaching others for Jesus Christ. We have a mailing list, I believe, in the state of Iowa of this is a log mailing list. I think there's 160 people. And we have a map. I have a map at home in my office with all the locations of the people. And they're just scattered all over the state. We've got people all over the state that we have contacts with. And we're anxious to, as God leads, to harness some of these people and give them some direction if we can. And work together as a team or as a corps in the state of Iowa, as lay people, in reaching others for Jesus Christ. Not having, it has the effect of working together with a group. Instead of being out here in Cedar Rapids, or down in Davenport, or over here in Newton, or Knoxville, or whatever it might be, working all alone, all by yourself, but working together as a group. And coming together from different places, and realizing the effect that you can enjoy working together in that way. Our basic unit, that's what you want to call it, or the way we've seen God work, has been in a man-to-man or woman-to-woman or a couple-to-couple relationship. And tomorrow we're going to be spending some time talking about this, some of the things that we've learned in working with lay people in a man-to-man relationship. So far, we've seen God give us, draw around us, a band of men, not large in number. It's about eight men that God has given us who we'd call who are men who are committed. Men who have, I believe, have given their lives to this vision. And who are working together in a team in this way. We perhaps have, three, four, maybe five men who are kind of on the fringe, who we're praying about and who I believe God is laying these things upon their own heart. We're located here in Ankeny. Some of the calls, a couple of them sitting here in the front row, are over here at Newton, which is about 35 miles over here. We have one call down here in Knoxville that's working with some people. And we've got some people working here in Des Moines and some here in Ankeny.
Right now, I'll talk about this a little later, working on the possibility of something going up here in Ames, which is about 18, 20 miles north of us. Our work is primarily with couples. And we often think of working together, working with businessmen. Well, I don't like to use that term, businessman. Usually you think of a businessman as a guy who's, got his collar buttoned and runs around with a tie on all the time. This isn't necessarily the case. We work with people from all walks of life. He may be an engineer. He may be an assembly line man. He may be a laborer. He may be a contractor. You have to find most any kind of a man. One of the things that we have learned, it's been kind of the hard way, and that's the importance of, when you're working with couples, of having a wife who is 100% behind her husband. And with the fellows that we have, I'd say that this has been the case, with possibly the exception of one. In some cases, the wives I've sensed have even been pushing their husbands. They've been so excited about what God is doing. And this can often make the difference. If you have to work with a fellow and fight the problems that he has in his life, along with fighting her as well, it's almost hopeless. Now, I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't give up on a fellow. But it really makes it difficult. If she has other things in mind, if she has other objectives, and we try to help us, we try to include the wives in the things that we're doing. But I think of the fellows here, I think of the fellows sitting right here in the front row, and as I think of them, I think of their wives, and who are 100% behind them. And I think of coming out here and spending a week alone because of financial reasons, because of family reasons, different reasons. They were anxious for their husbands to take this time to come out here to the conference. That's thrilling to me. See gals like that who are anxious to see their husbands coming along this way. I think of another fellow, Chuck Axtell. Chuck, when I first come to know Chuck, I met him at a conference. I'll share a little bit more about this tomorrow, but His wife became a Christian before he did, and he trusted the Savior sometime later, and they attended a conference. And Chuck was, he wasn't just too sure about these things. He thought it was good, and he liked to go to the conferences and so forth, but as far as really getting squared away, he was kind of dragging his heels. And his wife was really pushing him, Fern. I don't know if any of you know him at all or not. And this was the case with Chuck, but today Chuck is he's leading the family, I'll put it that way. God worked in his heart and his life, and we spent some time together with him. And I want to bring us out to point out the value of having a wife who's 100% behind him, and what an encouragement it is to the fellows in this way. Some of the ways that we try to keep them involved in what we're doing is just keeping them informed. Now that may sound like something that's you just kind of take for granted, but this is something that I had a real difficult time learning, and the importance of keeping my wife informed. I'll never forget back in '57 when I first started getting excited about some of these things. I was meeting together with a fellow by the name of Bill Haskell. And we were really having some wonderful times together. We got together once a week, and then it got to be more than once a week. We started getting involved in ministry-wise. Then it got to be more and more. We'd get together and play together, go down on the river. I had a boat, and we'd ski together and all these kind of things. And I began to notice that Betty was beginning to resent this a little bit. And I've checked this all out with her, so it's okay. But I couldn't understand this, why Well, I was involved in the ministry. You know, I thought I was doing what God wanted me to do. I'm convinced that I was, as I look back on it. And I couldn't understand why she resented this. And as time went on, why, it got so she didn't even like to hear the name Bill Haskell. So I was spending so much time with him. And I'd come home and she'd want to talk about things, but I wouldn't, you know. You don't want to get involved in these things? Well, I'm not even going to tell you. So my attitude was, and boy, things went from bad to worse. And I even thought at the time, well, maybe, you know, God is going to ask me to even give up my wife. And then we attended a conference out here about that time, and Richard Halverson was here. And it was on marriage in the home. And God really spoke to me about some things. And I wasn't loving my wife. I wasn't spending time with her. And we went back home and some things changed. And realized that we kind of take these things for granted, us fellows, I think. And realized that my wife's, her life was wrapped up in mine. And she was concerned, you know, and wanted, she just wanted to be a part of my life. And the time that I was spending with Bill Haskell was depriving her, and so she became somewhat jealous of this. Naturally so. So I began to change my ways a little bit. Started spending some time with her, doing things for her. Doing things together. And sharing the things, sharing the victories, sharing the defeats that we experienced together. And God smoothed out the rough places. So I think it's important that we keep our wives informed. Keep them, just talk to them, visit with them about these things. Let them in on, if we're out involved in the ministry, to keep them informed on what we're doing. Another way that we try to help them is to, when we have group meetings, is to let them participate in this way. And they can, socializing and so forth, in that way. And in this way they can, in a very definite way, have a part in the ministry. We also try to include them in coming to conferences like this. We can. Weekend conferences, or if we get together for some planning sessions, why, ask the wives to come along, just to be along, to be involved in the things that we're doing. This might be seem very simple to you, but to me it was, boy, I really had a thick skull, and it was took me a long time to realize the importance of this. And also, some of the wives take a part in the ministry, either by sharing in a very direct way by doing personal work with other wives or together as couples. We've, well, I won't get into that. Well, it's important to include our wives. One of the other things that we have used back there is the use of rallies. They're probably familiar to many of you who are in contact with navigators around in your area, have been involved in some type of a rally where possibly people come in and speak. And we use this, too, for different reasons. Try to have them about once a month, if we can. We don't set them up on a, you know, the first Tuesday of every month or anything like that, but we try to have them about once a month. And the purposes of the rally vary. But one of the purposes, and has been mentioned here, is just for the purpose of fellowship. Getting together and having fellowship with other Christians. We have a lot of contacts, a lot of people who are interested in the things that we're doing, and perhaps are not involved to the degree that we would like to see them, but it takes time, you know. And so this keeps, we can keep in contact with them in this way. We have them in the homes in different areas. purpose also is for training. Gives new Christians opportunities to express themselves, to share how what Christ has done in their lives. It also gives us an opportunity to look for disciples in sharing responsibilities, see those who are faithful, see those who want to really do something for God. It also gives opportunity for fellows to share before a group that which God has spoken to them about. It's also a means whereby we can expose new people to the vision, or whatever you want to call it, those things which God has laid in our hearts. We recently had a couple of rallies. One of them was down in Knoxville, another one was up in Ames. The purpose being that we might invite some of the people in, Christians, people who just perhaps recently become Christians, or those who've been Christians for some time, with a purpose in mind of stimulating an interest in Bible study. And out of the Bible study, we hope to recruit laborers, men who would be committed to this vision that God has given us. And we found this to be very effective. Knoxville is probably about 60 miles from Des Moines, about 35 miles from Newton. It's not too far away. And the people that we've been working with, why, we let them know about it. And the fellows down in Knoxville, they invited some of the people in from there in Knoxville, and then we'd go down there and have a rally. And someone, this is generally just lay people that are doing these things. And the impression that it leaves with them is very encouraging. When you see, 15, 20 couples coming into a home from another town that are all excited about these things, they think, I better get on the bandwagon here. And it's been very encouraging. We don't expect to see anything big coming out of it, perhaps a study of, three or four couples getting together, and from that, seeing God work in their hearts and their lives. I don't think they have any idea at all what they're getting involved in at the outset, but it's our prayer that God would work in their hearts and their lives, we might find them committed. Another tool, if that's what you want to call it, that we have found to be quite effective in working with couples, working with men, or trying to recruit men, is this place right here, Glen Eyrie. And we've used it in different ways. We've tried to have a couple of weekend retreats, if that's what you want to call it, where we've had businessmen come in. I wonder somewhat about the effectiveness of this. We've seen some good fruit out of it, but the overall effectiveness of it, I sometimes wonder about that. We're, of course, geographically so located that we can use the Glen for this purpose. Some of you, of course, being 1,600 miles away, why, it would be impossible for you to do this. But the fellows here at the Glen are very gracious in cooperating in this way. And if we can find a weekend, if they're not busy, we've done this. We've had people come out for maybe a weekend retreat. But the area where I found it very useful, see if I can communicate this to you, is inviting a fellow out who I find very excited about these things, who is all kind of on the edge looking in. And a man who I'm really trying to recruit. He may have been a Christian for some time, but who's just, he's kind of wondering about Bud View and Navigators and all this. And so I found it to be very useful in this way. I remember, 5 weeks ago, I brought the boys out. They're out here for summer camp. And I brought a fellow by the name of Chuck Hunt out. Chuck had gone to school at Northwestern. He knew Leroy Imes and Walter and Scott from way back when they'd gone to school at Northwestern. And we ran across him down at Tarkio. And then I saw him in Des Moines. We were attending the counseling training classes for our Grady Wilson meetings that are going to be in Des Moines in August. And I saw him there, and I was going to be going out the next weekend. And as I went home, I thought about it, and I called him up one night and asked him if he'd like to, what he was doing that weekend. And he said he didn't have too much plan. I asked him if he'd like to go to Colorado. He kind of gulped, you know, and said, yeah, he'd like to go along. So I brought the boys out, flew out, and while we were here, there wasn't particularly any activities going on here at the Glen, but just being here on the Glen for a weekend and seeing what's going on and visiting with the people, the personal interest that the people here at the Glen, as you probably have well experienced, that they show towards people like this, has a very wholesome effect on men like this that we're seeking to recruit. He shared with his wife, I didn't get this direct from him, but he went back home the next day. With tears in his eyes, he explained to his wife, you know, he couldn't understand why he'd wasted so many years getting down to business for God. That's just what one weekend did, just spending that weekend together. Now he's got three other couples, two of them fairly young Christians, and the other couple have been Christian for some time. They're about through the first study, and they're really excited about these things, about what God's doing in their lives. Think of another fellow who I brought out. It's been about 3 years ago now. Granville Norris, some of you know him. He came out here with a very critical view of the Navigators. He told me this later. He was looking for means whereby he could, just looking for something that he could criticize him for. And it happened to be that a conference was starting. It was a high school conference, and they were very busy here. And Leroy was here at the time, and he noticed this fellow who was running up and down the stairs in a pair of Levi's and paint splattered all over him and carrying bags and helping the conferees. Later on, he met this fellow, and it was Leroy Imes. And that really surprised him, you know, that here was one of the leaders who was dragging suitcases and helping people, and then who took the time from his busy schedule and spent about an hour and a half, 2 hours in the afternoon, sitting down over here in the lodge and just shared some things from the scriptures with him in a very personal way. And it was a kind of a turning point in Granville's life for us. Back home, you know, I'm just another guy, you know, I'm a contractor, a businessman, and some guys are kind of skeptical. They wonder about some of these things, and you get them out here and they changes their minds about things. So I found the Glen to be very useful in that way. Talked about the importance of including the wives and how we attempt to use rallies for different purposes and the use of the Glen. Another, of course, very important part of working together with a team of men is in an evangelistic effort. We probably work on evangelism in this way. We'll have an evangelistic thrust whereby we will, it'll be a team effort where we'll get together as a team and perhaps for 8 weeks, maybe longer, I'd say for a period of about 8 weeks, we'll get together and go out two by two an evangelism. And then we'll kind of pull back and conserve the fruit, spend our time conserving the fruit, spending time Bible study and so forth with these people that we've had contact with. It evangelism is has a very wholesome effect on working with a team of men. It really brings them together as a team. Everybody is anxious to see God work, and you see God work in this way, and it really generates enthusiasm. And it does something for the fellow's Bible studies as well. Bible study might bog down a little bit. Boy, you get involved in evangelism, and boy, that Bible study becomes exciting. And people are really digging in there. And, of course, evangelism really... you're really dependent upon God, you know. You see God work in the hearts and lives of men and women, and it's exciting. I'd like to go through this a little bit and just explain to you what we do in evangelism, working together as a team. In the way of preparation, we encourage the fellows to write down the names of couples, men, whatever it might be, who God has laid on their heart, and start praying for them. And we'll pray together for them, pray for them individually, pray for them in a group, in our Bible studies, for probably a period of 4, 5, 6 weeks before we ever even go out on an evangelistic effort. We've tried to do it without prayer, and boy, it falls flat. So it's important that we spend this time together and the time alone pleading with God for the hearts of these, that they might be prepared as we go. I think of one couple who one of the fellows went out to visit. And he made the comment afterwards, he said, "If you'd approached me any other time, I would have been completely closed to what you've come with." But his comment was, it was just a miracle. You were just God sent at the right time. Show how God had prepared their hearts. And this is really about all the preparation we have, with the exception, of course, that we are assuming that previous to this, they will have prepared their testimonies, gone through, have written out their testimonies, know how to present in a very attractive way what God has done in their own lives, and also how to present the gospel as well. Assuming that they know this, well, then we'll go ahead and set up a given night, get together Tuesday night, if that might be the night, at 8 o'clock, and or perhaps 7:30, get together and have some time in prayer before we go out, and then we go out two by two. And we always make it a point to call on, I think I covered this, but we make it a point to cover, we don't call on people who we don't know. It's not a cold contact. We're calling on people who we have an acquaintance with, that they'll recognize us when they see us at the door. When we come up the door, our first approach is, we ask, if the husband doesn't come to the door, we ask for him. If he's not there, why, we won't go in. If he's home, well, then we'll ask for some time, ask him if they've got a little bit of time, and we state our purpose. We just come and tell them that we would like to find, or we'd like to relate to them how we have found the Christian life practical in our everyday lives. Some of the fellows have been very bold about this. Surveys and everything else have been used, and you can go in the name of this and go in the name of that. And I remember a couple of fellows went out one night, and they were calling on principal schools in Ankeny. They knocked on the door, and this principal recognized them, and they stated their purpose. I just simply stated it in this way. They said, "We'd like to talk to you about Jesus Christ." And they invited him in. They were anxious to hear. But I believe that God honors boldness, you know. Why should we beat around the bush? We want to talk to people about Jesus Christ. There's a matter of integrity involved there, you know. We have to state our purpose. And Don't spend a lot of time talking about the weather and everything else, you know, when you come in. But get down to business. You state your purpose, why the stage is set when you get in. By calling, we've tried cold contacts, and that's really a tough way to go, because you have to convince these people that you're not trying to get them to join something, or you're not some strange person trying to sell some peculiar ideas or something like this. I find that this has been much more productive in talking with people that, that we know. A person who has the acquaintance, we go out in teams, we go out two by two. The person who has the acquaintance is usually the one that leads the conversation. And I'd like to say here that it's important to include the wife. Oftentimes our contact has been with the fella, with the husband, and we go to see him, but it's important to include the wife. Try to get her included in it if you can. Don't leave her out in the kitchen, or if she's there, well, you want to be sure and speak to her, address yourself to her as well. Include her in it. Then we may begin the conversation something like this. Just simply state, Jim, since I've become a Christian, I've found that the Christian life has, or since I've become a real Christian, something to this effect, that it's really changed my life, and I'd just simply like to share with you how it's happened. And I found that people are always anxious to hear what you've experienced. And this gives you an opportunity to go ahead and share your testimony and share the gospel. And then we encourage the fellows to, in sharing the gospel and sharing their own experience, make sure that it has a very positive approach. You know what I mean? How does it affect your life? How has it affected my life today? In what way? Has it helped me in my relationship with men? Has it helped me in my relationship at home? If so, in a very practical way, relate this to them. I guess it's one of the things that what's been touched upon earlier this week, but we need to do. There's so much negativism around, and we need to approach people in a very positive way. Whenever I think about the positive side of Christianity and relating it to someone, I can't help but think about this fellow Earhart that we visited with over there in East Berlin, this communist. When he was confronted with the positive side of Christianity, he was immediately interested. And so we need to relate this to people. Then we just simply try to draw them out by asking them some very simple questions. Does this make sense to you? Have you ever experienced anything like this? And then you get involved in the conversation. And very seldom do we see fruit at a first contact like this. Unless God has gone before and there's been a lot of seed sown by someone else, it's seldom that we see fruit. But through the testimony, through our own experiences, and through sharing the gospel, we seek to create an interest in studying the Bible. And depending on what the situation is, we either use the new NAV studies, which I think are very effective, or else we'll use these John studies. I don't know if you're familiar with them or not. Show them to you. You've seen these? They're in the office down there. They're a series of four, and they're very simple, nothing difficult about it at all. You can take it out and show it to a fellow, and you're not going to snow him. He's not going to be frightened by something that's going to be very difficult. They're all taken from the Gospel of John, and the first one is on man, the second one is on the Savior, the third one is on salvation, the fourth one is on the new life. And they bring a man to a point of decision. And they're very economical. And we found them to be very effective as well. Give one to each one, give one to the husband, give one to the wife, set up an appointment, and set up a definite appointment. Try to get a commitment out of them, if they'll do it, and then try to get them to set a time. Say, next Monday night, we'd like to come back, and we'll go over this with you. Don't just walk out and say, well, call me when you get that finished. You have to set up an appointment or they won't do it. And we leave and then we continue to pray for them. Question? Yes.
Uh-huh.
No, we don't. I wouldn't leave all four. Just leave the first study. You might point out to them that there are a series of four, so they'll know that this isn't going to be something that's going to be involved indefinitely. There are only four studies to complete. And if there's... perhaps they're not sure whether they're a Christian. And perhaps we approach it this way. If you're uncertain as to whether you've actually experienced anything like this in your life, or if you want to look into it and see if there really is anything to it at all, we try to encourage them in this way. And that's right, Joe, just give them the one study. Don't give them all four. They're just as apt to start in the last one and be a bad deal. But it brings them to a point of decision. And you have to use the personal pronoun in here. It's very effective, I think. It brings them right to a point of decision. It's been wonderful to see how God has changed lives by the use of a little study like that. This pretty well covers what we attempt to do in the way of an evangelistic effort, and I've shared with you some things that we attempt to do in the way of working together with rallies. And the importance of including the wives in our efforts. Now, perhaps maybe you might have some questions that you'd like to ask me about what we're attempting to do back there. Everett?
Well, after your initial project, you started to do the gospel. Can you go back to this team where you and your wife go back
to the business of how you work at that time? As I said, we'll set up an appointment with them, and then we'll go back. Usually as a team. If it's a fellow's going out, they go back that way, or quite often they'll go back as couples as well. Work it both ways. Husband and wife calling on them. That's probably the most effective way. Jim? No, that's right. We encourage them to fill the study out during the week. We do not sit down and do the study together with them. We ask them to complete the study before we get there, and then we go. Then we just sit down and go over it and spend the evening. And we leave. We don't spend a lot of time with them. Don't like to take a lot of their time. Stay late. But go over the study, encourage them, and then leave.
Do you usually try and... maybe a day before your appointment is set to get called,
the church
settled, or do you just go on time?
No. Yes, we do. Wouldn't give them that opportunity to back out. As on occasions, they've called us and tell us, we've got something going on that evening, or backing out. But no, we don't call them.
I have four little questions you can answer, yes or no. It's quite simple. You emphasize sharing your experiences with your wife. Do you have 250-year-old boys? Do you allow them to sit in on the sharing?
Yes. Probably not as much as I do with my wife.
This is a little bit unrelated. but our business gives us so many opportunities to witness. Do you share your business problems with the world?
To a degree. I don't like to bring all my problems home to my wife.
Any resistance from the church for these home rallies? So leave it at that way. Thank you. on these rallies, are they ever evangelistic?
Yes, we have made them evangelistic as well. The purpose may be our purpose, thing that we're attempting to accomplish is to recruit laborers, you know. And it might be among the Christians, but it also might be among people who are not Christians at all. And we will make it evangelistic.
Then if you have an evangelistic one, it's conducted on a little different basis than one where you're having a rally for Christians.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, it's just in the evening. We'll just get together in the evening, perhaps meet at 7:30, and just like a meeting you might have here, we have a piano, sing some songs, and have someone share their testimony, and then someone share something from the Scriptures. If it's evangelistic, or if it's something to challenge the Christians along that line, then when we get through with it, why, we have a little time, refreshment, something cold to drink, etc., and get acquainted with the people in this way and visit with them that way.
When a couple, you said occasionally you've had a couple that call before and said, don't come because I have something else. Do you pursue it any further?
Jim, would you like to, Wayne, would you like to answer that?
Yes, this happened in a case of mine due to evangelistic thrust. We went out one evening and contacted this individual. Set up a date, Tuesday night, 7:30. Everything was squared away. And all. They caught me on the street, on a Monday, and said, oh, can't do it Tuesday night.
Good.
We'll do it Wednesday night. No, can't do it Wednesday night. I said, well, how about Thursday night? I mentioned three nights, just boom, boom, boom. He said, no, we're just busy this week. I said, well, what night would be a good night for you? Well, he finally came up with a night, but he didn't just know what time. I said, any night. We have to make ourselves available if it's 5 o'clock in the morning or if it's midnight. I mean, this is our job. If we're interested in that soul, I think we should come whenever he or she or both can meet. After all, this is part of the
loss. Will you go to Newton and go out with these fellows?
Yes.
When they come to Ankeny, we'll go out with you.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We work together as we'll pull them over to Ankeny and pull them down from Ames. We've even had the college students involved on one occasion. And,
not husband and wife, but two men.
Two men.
How about the women? No?
We haven't done this. We got a lot of things to learn. Bob, but we haven't done this yet. I don't believe that's been the case, has it, Jim? No. It doesn't seem to make too much difference, I don't believe. Now, we have had the couples go out, have done that on occasions. But I don't believe that it would make too much difference, better whether you send them out as a team of men or as a couple. It's good to get the wife involved in it, I think. I like to see that.
One more question. You're acquainted with the new life series, y'all. Do you feel that this area of studies and jobs is preferable yet to number one? The Christian last year just got out.
Depends on situation. Depends on who you're studying with, I think. I really do. I would say, by and large, quite frankly, I would prefer this on the initial contact, because it isn't going to scare them, you know. You come with a big book and start flipping through and they see all that and then, well, I don't know if I want that or not. This is very simple and it's inexpensive, too, as far as you're concerned, too, so.
But if they're responsive, where do you take it from?
father to son. Do you remember a Bible study group was already going?
Jim, you'd like to answer that?
Well, I kind of experienced this a little bit. About a year and a half ago, I brought the thought and we began to meet individually, his wife and my wife, and he and myself. And we met for about a year. And then we began to pray for a couple of studies because he was coming along. So we have branched out, and we have two couples now. We have a couple study going. So, he's leading the study to keep him growing and give him a little bit more, you know, share a little bit of the Lord. And so God has given us fruit in his study. And there's a fellow's wife that I'm going to have to be spending time with personally. So this thing may branch out some more. We're going to start with one and see how it goes and branch out a little more.
Well, if these drugs are at all successful, Jewish and non-Jewish people will start going to follow.
Well, we don't. I want to give you the idea that we're going out and reaching 10, 15 couples, something like that. It might be three or four couples. And we spend personal time with them. It's on a personal basis. It isn't, we have had some sad experiences. We've had a lot of people, you know, ground beat the drum and get people excited about what we're doing, and then we couldn't give them help. There wasn't enough of us around to give them help, and there's been some casualties, sad to say, because of this, I think, because we just couldn't help them. Didn't have time.
You can get a couple interested, though, and anxious to grow, and Sunday morning rolls around, and you're going to be ostracized from religiosity if you don't funnel these people into something. What do you do?
Well, we leave the church issue pretty much alone. We're anxious, of course, to see people going to an evangelical church. But I would say,
if they ask us,
well, if they ask us, well, then we, of course, encourage them to go to an evangelical church. But we don't. And this is kind of a tender spot. We in fact, I would say that the church issue is probably the biggest problem that we face. And it might not be true in your area of the country, but in our area, this is probably the biggest problem that we face. And it's a problem, you know. I use sticking our head in the sand and say that it's not, because it is.
You have to name a church, because if you say
we might name two or three. But the problem we've run into is on the church issue is when they see a fellow who's come up in the ranks, who used to attend all the meetings and come to all the, and all of a sudden his allegiance has been changed, you know. He comes to church, but his allegiance has changed, and they sense this, and they notice this. Why? We're in the problems. And they can become pretty big.
You are in the area of evangelical churches support things like this, though, and you won't have a problem. Is that true?
Well, I'd like to say yes, but unfortunately in our area, this is not true.
What was that question?
He said that, his comment was that all of our evangelical churches would be behind and support this type of an effort. We've not found that to be true. Yeah, that very may well be, you know, and that I'm going to church right now, which I believe is I trust be open to that. Ron, did you have a question? Frank?
Did you choose to work with couples, or was this part of the wisdom of the Lord?
That was the direction of the Lord, boy. I used to think I'll share a little more about this tomorrow, but boy, every time I saw a navigator, they were always on their way to the campus, you know. And I thought if I was going to have a ministry, I was going to have to locate on a campus. In fact, I went to Iowa State and saw real estate people about buying ground. I was going to build myself a new home on the campus, right close to the campus.
But God didn't choose to. I think it's important for us to be effective in our own sphere of influence. That's where God's put us. And that's where we ought to minister.
In case, you call out home and they have no church affiliation at all, do you make an issue of the church denomination? Do you encourage church attendance?
No. I'm gun shy. In fact, I'd say I probably have developed somewhat of a complex almost mentioning the word navigators around a church. It's almost like a... Well, I mean, yeah, but we are, you know, whether we like to say it or not, we are associated with a group, you know. And I don't like to talk about the navigators to people. When I'm talking to them about Christ, that's what I want to talk to them about. I don't even mention the name navigators. I don't like to mention... I remember we went to call on some people who lived right across the street from the church. Well, I got to buy... I'll just share something. We had our study in our home for a while, and I was criticized for having a study in our home. It should be a church function. So I stopped doing that and had it in the church for a while. Well, that didn't help any either. But while we were meeting in church, we went out on evangelism, even from the church. But we went out in the name of Christ. You know, we didn't go out saying, I'm from such and such church. We just went out sharing the gospel. And the people, in fact, the people that we introduced you yesterday, this was a couple. They're very across the street from the church. And they told us afterwards, they said, here comes those Baptists. You know, and they saw us coming. Oops, I shouldn't have said that. Well, that's what they said. They were braced for us, you know. But when we got to the door, we told them that we'd just like to share with them how we'd found the Christian life practical. Boy, they invited us in, and 3 weeks later, they both trusted the Savior.
Here's the thing, though. They need to be encouraged somewhere to have a church or a fellowship that they can share. Can you send me some encouragement in some direction, maybe in this area?
Well, I wouldn't do it.
In other words, better. You're just a follower of the Christians.
Yep. Get them involved in the Bible study. And I wouldn't do it. Not until... And it's our position has been that we encourage the fellows that we're working with to fellowship in an evangelical church, to take one activity and to serve it well, and to do this. But not to be involved in the total ministry of the church. Because what happens, and we've had this happen several times, where a fellow comes along, he begins to grow, and people around the church observe this, and boy, they just, you know, they give him everything. They, you know, he has to do everything. And what happens then when the church goes along and, you know, something happens in the church, and they get a little division, and boy, then he's way down here, and he's got big problems trying to get this thing straightened out in the church and trying to help this. So we encourage people to just to do one thing and to keep their eyes fixed on the objective that God has called us to do and to serve God in this way, but to function in the church in that way. Gene?
But I think how they work out the church situation, because I'm sort of on the other side of the fence. Back in 1956, I came into our church.
They can't hear you.
Yeah. Okay. I came in to change the church and ran into a brick wall. Bloodied my head and backed off and bandaged it up and said, well, that won't work. And yet I believe with all my heart that the local church is God's plan for reaching the world. I believe that. As imperfect as it is. So I decided, well, what can you do? And I decided to go infiltrate. So what we did in the church, went along with the program, and yet I kept my eye open for a couple that seemed to have a heart for God. Got hold of one of these couples and began to encourage them and meet with them. And pretty soon there were two couples in the church, us and one other. And then this couple began to work with another couple. We worked with another couple, pretty soon there were four couples. Well, now, the quality of the lives of these people began to show in the church.
place to teach, just like cranes jump to the top of the hill. And I went along, and we had the Sunday school superintendents, the Sunday school teachers, and the board meetings. You have to know. But then this can work from within. But you can't do it by going in and growing up and hearing challenges and telling them wrong. Just begin to work. The time will come when you'll be a threat to pastor. These people will be a threat. Any guy there will try and box you off. That happened to William Watt. Boxing out of the Sunday school class. They walked the corner and he got out. That happened to Brendan and I.